It's Dallas week here in Philly, and each time these two teams match up, it's always a big game, Bob. Dallas leads the all-time series 56-46, and as the Eagles face the Cowboys on Sunday, they look to add a win to that record. Welcome to Eagles Green Zone. I'm Becky Brensinger.
And I'm Bob Bumbara. Becky, you have two desperate teams to search for a win. Eagles trying to snap a four-game losing streak. Both teams are 3-5. Big-time NFC East battle at Lincoln Financial Field. Sunday afternoon, we're going to talk about it and analyze it.
And coming up, I sit down with defensive end Brandon Graham. All here on Eagles Green Zone.
Hello and we welcome you to Eagles Green Zone. I'm Bob Bumbara as we take a look and analyze what lies ahead for the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. And here's our Eagles Green Zone team to analyze it. Former NFL player, former Eagle Barrett Brooks, and Eagles insider Adam Kaplan. And guys, Eagles coming into this game having lost four in a row. Things are not happening that should be happening. And as an offensive lineman, former offensive lineman, that kind of stuff frustrates you as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I take pride in being an offensive lineman, especially being an Eagles offensive lineman. And if you look at it, A-gaps is where the closest way to Michael Vick. So if you have an A-gap guy there, it's the offensive line's responsibility to take control and get him. They made some calls, you know, and actually, you know, patted themselves on the side to show that they need to go down, but they didn't go down. There was miscommunication, and executing wasn't, you know, up to par. And because of that, Vick was hit hard. He was almost knocked out of the game. He had a couple fumbles. You have to take care of the interior first, and if guys aren't attuned to what's going on with each other and they're not making the right calls, they're not executing, it could be a rough day for any offense because it all starts on the offensive line, and it all starts in the middle between the center and the two guards.
Both teams, Cowboys and Eagles, 3-5. And would you have ever imagined, Adam, that they both these teams would have this 3-5 record, really in a desperate situation to get a win at this point in the season?
No, Bob. And the fact that they were 3-1 at one point, I was like, wow, this team is about where I think it would be. But then things started unspiral here with the offensive line injuries, inconsistency, lack of confidence. And Barrett knows this from being a player. Sometimes when you start losing, you feel like you can't win anymore. You lose your confidence. But this Dallas week, Barrett knows being a player, it changes everything. No matter what goes on, it's Dallas week. For the fans, it's everything. For
the players,
yeah, it means a lot to everybody.
In a sense, so this is a good thing for the Eagles that the Cowboys are coming to town, that it's this team coming to Philadelphia. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Like I said, all bets are off, and this is a rivalry game. This is an Eagles team that they need a shot in the arm, and this game should be the game that, you know, gets it going, because a Cowboys team is still a Cowboys team, and there's an intense hatred. I mean, earlier on, you know, being a fan of Philly, earlier on at a young age, they're taught hatred towards the Cowboys. So, you know, this should be a great game.
The Dallas Cowboys ranked 9th in total offense, 4th in total defense, yet they're 3-5. I mean, is that the team? I mean, what's indicative of this record for Dallas? Because they have some similarities with the Eagles as far as they seem like they have the right parts to be playing better. Why aren't they?
They're not scoring. They cannot run the football at all. They can throw it. They've got plenty of options. Their offensive line is not very good. The loss of DeMarco Murray, their starting running back early with a sprained foot, it's really hurt them. Their defense is good. There's no question about it. The thing that they don't get from the defense is turnovers. For many years, you look at their defensive talent and you go, wow, Ware, Anthony Spencer, Sean Lee getting hurt obviously is a problem. Ratliff is terrific. Claiborne, their first-round pick. Mike Jenkins, the list goes on and on and on. But they don't get a lot of turnovers, and they're not converting when they get them. And it's similar, as you mentioned, the Eagles. Eagles aren't scoring. Neither is Dallas. Someone's going to have to win this game. But I would say this. Watching Dallas this season, they're another team that's underachieving. They should be way better than they are.
What would be your game plan for this coming Sunday afternoon?
They definitely need to simplify things and need to put their players in position to be successful.
Well, talk about that simplifying of the offense. What do you mean by that?
We need to stop with the 7-step drops, stop with the no-back offenses, and go out and play basic offense. Going out there, run the ball consistently, and then at the end of the day, executing simple offensive plays where the offensive line know who they're going to block and just block them individuals. There's going to be a lot of people flying around with that defense, a lot of execution as far as they have to pick up blitzes. this is the type of defense, you know, a Ryan defense where you're going to have to know who you have to block. So they have to put their players in a position to block those players. And if they do that, they can have some success.
Adam Kaplan, Barrett Brooks, as always, a pleasure to have you guys here as we end talking about the defense. And, you know, this current Eagles team, hopefully someday looking to have a great defense like the ones of the late 80s and early 90s with the Eagles. And one of those players that hopes to have a big part of that team is Brandon Graham. Becky Brenzinger has more with number 54.
Brandon Graham joins us today. What would you say is your most challenging factor transitioning from Michigan college ball into the pros?
Well, you know, the speed. Just coming in right away, you know, don't have class. This is all you have to do now. And, you know, I really had to step my game up and, you know, put as much time into the game as I could, because I used to blame it on class all the time, not coming out and just doing as much as I can because I got to go to class. But now, see, I had to grow up, you know, be a man early.
Week two of your first year, you went back to your hometown of Detroit, played against the Lions as an Eagle. What were the feelings going through your head as you stepped onto the field?
Just going out there and just giving it my all in front of my hometown. You know, I got my first sack that game, so, you know, it was a blessing. You know, it was a big time for me because, you know, I had over 100-something people there. And, you know, I just wanted to be a good role model for the kids, you know, and let them see that, you know, you can make it out Detroit.
You put in some major work this offseason, cross-training with boxing. You know, how are the fruits of your labor paying off?
Well, they're paying off now because, you know, I'm able to go out there and just go hard all the time. And, I mean, that's always been me, but now it's just turned it up a little more, you know, just with that. And, you know, I just feel good. You know, my body's in great shape right now. And, shoot, I'm ready for whatever.
Earlier in the season, you said that you were on a mission. How has that become your theme now that you're getting more snaps?
Well, you know, I mean, still on a mission. You know, I'm on a mission to try to win a Super Bowl and help the team win. And that's all I want to do. That's all I care about. And, you know, whatever it takes.
You're an Air Jordans shoe collector, and it just so happens here that we have some photos of some Air Jordans. Now, I want you to get, like, fashion guru on us. Tell us what you like and what you don't like about these Jordans, okay?
Okay. Well, you know, these Jordans right here, you know, I really don't have these because I don't like the way they fit on my foot. You know, it's because I have real fat feet. I mean, they ain't that fat, but, you know, they don't feel comfortable in these shoes. But, you know, I like them. You know, if I had small feet, I sure would get them. You know, these right here, I love these. I mean, they're not my favorite pair, but, you know, I wear them, you know, and they're comfortable. These Jordans right here. You know, I just wear them for breast cancer awareness. That's about it.
Now, this next one I think you're really going to like.
Oh, yeah, these ones I got already. You know, and these my girls right here. You know, the Isabel Marant's, the little Beyonce shoes. I wouldn't wear them. They ugly to me, but, you know, it's all good.
How many Jordans do you think you have?
I probably have, probably over 100 pairs.
That's impressive.
You know, but I keep them in storage, you know, so I don't keep them at the house.
Now, being from Detroit, I know you have to have your favorite Motown hit. What is it?
My girl, talking about my girl, ooh.
I'm sorry.
Hey, I got it a little bit, just a little bit. You know, I done sung that plenty of times with my grandma.
All right, that's awesome. Thank you for your time,
Fred. Oh, yeah.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Hey, welcome back to Eagles Green Zone. You know, we have whittled our bracket breakdown in search of the greatest Eagle of all time down to the Sweet 16. So go to the website, philadelphiaeagles.com/vote, and vote for your greatest Eagle. All right, we brought back our experts, Barrett Brooks and Adam Kaplan, to look at what happened last week and what lies ahead in the bracket breakdown. And Adam Kaplan, any surprises from the voting of last week?
Sonny Jurgensen. Guy couldn't move, had no athleticism, but he's a tough guy. Did well here. Remember, he played for a couple teams, but he did a good job while I was here. And Trent Call, I would say over an 8 or 9 year period, one of the best DNs in the National Football League, because you know you played in the National Football League. Guys who could rush the passer and play the run, I think those guys are at a high premium.
Absolutely. He's a smaller guy, too. He's earned his weight as an Eagle guy going up the ladder. I don't know about, you know, being in front of Sonny, but he's definitely a guy that's, like I said, with the younger generation. He's more relevant at this point, but he's definitely, you know, stacked himself up with some of the best in this, on this list.
All right, Adam and Barrett, let's take a look at what lies ahead this week in the first couple of matchups in the Sweet 16. Is there a play that stands out in mind when you hear those names? Barrett, does a play come to mind specifically when you think of Reggie White?
Well, you know, that great fumble recovery, you know, let alone what he did to me personally. But his fumble recovery, you know, him running around, you know, like a sack of bread, you know, just running around with it. You know, that's definitely one of the major points, you know, against Washington, I think it was.
Right. Many, many years ago, I'll never forget an old RFK. And seeing a guy as big as he is, but as athletic, that was the thing that Bob and Barrett that threw me for Reggie White, because you don't see guys as big as he is so athletic. You kind of change the game. There's no question about it.
How about with Donovan McNabb? Does a play stand out to you?
Oh, boy. So many great plays for him, and the heart that he showed when he broke his ankle against the Cardinals to come back after halftime and still play. This guy played with a lot of injuries, and he showed a lot of heart.
You know, it's funny. When I think of a guy like John Runyon, I automatically think of a New York Giant and a guy like Michael Strahan and those epic battles between those two guys. Is that kind of when you think of Big John, you think about those kind of battles with those defensive linemen?
Absolutely, Bob. And also the durability which he showed was unbelievable. He played with a bad back for many years. Sometimes he just couldn't practice, but he'd play on Sunday. And I thought his play and Trey Thomas together, instrumental in Donovan McNabb's protection, Donovan becoming a very, very, very good quarterback, Barrett, for many years.
Absolutely. You know, because of him, you know, it was almost like Clash of the Titans, like you said, against, you know, Strahan and Run. You know, those guys go out there giving everything they got every play. Those are the things, you know, it's almost like pay-per-view. I'd pay to see those guys play again.
You know, it's an interesting, too, because Eagles are just coming off a loss to the Saints. And when you think of Sheldon Brown, he might be known for a hit against the Saints team that the Eagles lost to.
Oh, Reggie Bush, 2006 in the Superdome. It was unbelievable. And he just destroyed him. And the funny thing is, you know, everyone makes fun of cornerbacks who don't tackle. That night, Sheldon Brown tackled.
He gave him everything he could handle, you know. I didn't think he had it in him. He made me a believer against Reggie Bush, and I bet you what, Reggie Bush definitely believes it also.
Barrett Brooks, Adam Kaplan, thanks again, guys, for breaking it down here on Bracket Breakdown and our search for the greatest Eagle of all time. You know, we think about the players so much, but there's other important cogs in the team. One of those guys is the late, great Eagles trainer, Otho Davis. We have more on what he meant to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Otho Davis not only impacted me, he impacted the profession.
He was so recognizable as a figure in the National Football League that I think he gave the position of athletic training credibility within the National Football League.
I was very fortunate for 10 years to have Otho Davis as my athletic trainer. And there is no question I wouldn't have lasted 17 years as an NFL player.
Everybody that's a trainer now, head trainers, assistant trainers, or interns, in some kind of way, Otho has touched their lives.
I've been an agent for about 40 years, and I represent over 700 players and coaches and one trainer, and the trainer I had was Otho Davis, my client.
You know, I can remember going to training camp at Wider University, then Westchester University, when Otho's the president of the National Association of Athletic Trainers. And we always had young people around learning the business, how to take care of themselves, how to take care of ourselves. These are young people that wanted to learn. So Otho was committed to athletic training. And when we saw that kind of commitment that he had to that profession, I think we all realized that Otho was a very special person.
When you're with those guys all the time, like, you know, we're here 7 in the morning, 7 at night, the guy's hurt. Like a guy like Jason Kelce right now, I'm developing a relationship with him personally because he's with us so much. I think Otho did that, and then I think Otho did it with his athletes to make them feel like this was their second home.
Otho sold me a dog. He sold me cowboy boots, he sold me a cowboy hat, all this stuff. So, you know, we went on basketball trips together.
At the time I retired, I'd played 116 straight games in a row at starting quarterback. So that was a record which Brett Favre broke about 15 years later. Without Otho Davis teaching me how to take care of my body, taking care of my body himself, treating me the right way, training me the right way, there's no way I would have lasted that long.
He had legendary status within this organization. And the reason he had that is because he put the players' health care and their well-being and their emotional state as the paramount thing in his job. And so as a guy who's been fortunate enough to follow in his footsteps, I feel like I owe that to Otho, to his legacy, and to the Philadelphia Eagles and the organization. So I try to take care of those players like he took care of his players.
We all know that professional football is a tough, demanding, physical, violent job. But if you could put a smile on someone's face by playing some practical jokes, it kind of puts everyone at ease. And Otho Davis was the master.
I'm a goofball. You know, I hate to see a picture on the wall tilted. And for the 7 years I'm the head coach, the last 6 years I coached that team, I would come into my office on a weekly routine and find different pictures tilted. And I could not figure out who was doing it. I accused a lot of people. Lo and behold, I go to the hospice to see Otho Davis the day before he passes away. And I'm holding his hand and I've got tears in my eyes. And he said, "Coach, I was the guy that tilted those pictures."
The one that always kind of jumps out was the trip to Atlantic City. You know, that's always the one where the veteran players are always in on. And about a week before your first night off at training camp, you've been busting it now twice a day for 7 weeks. And, you know, coach says, "Okay, we got Saturday night off." And the minute Otho would hear that, the signs would come out. Trip to Atlantic City, free. When you show up at the bus, you get $500 in casino chips. When you get to Atlantic City, we'll have a room for you. And, man, all the rookies were so excited. "This is going to be great, going to Atlantic City, a night off, a room, 500 in chips." So you're supposed to be there at the rec center, the student center, wherever the bus was supposed to leave, and everyone would be out there watching, and all the rookies would show up. But there was no bus, and there was no trip to Atlantic City.
Join the Eagles and the American Red Cross on December 1st for the 5th annual Eagles Blood Drive. All presenting donors will receive a limited edition Todd Harriman's number 79 t-shirt. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit www.redcrossblood.org/eagles to make your appointment today.
Ah, yes, it's that magical, special time of the year that Eagles fans always have circled on their calendar. No, it's not Thanksgiving, it's not Christmas either. It's the day when the most hated franchise in Philadelphia sports history comes to town. That's right, Eagles fans, it's time to gear up, get loud, and boo anything with a star on it. The city of brotherly love welcomes back the Dallas Cowboys, otherwise known as America's team. But have you ever noticed that the Cowboys are the only ones to call themselves that? America's team? Newsflash! This is Philadelphia, the birthplace of America. And we hate the Cowboys. And I hate to break your hearts a little bit more, but the largest city in America, New York, and the capital of America, Washington, D.C., they're not big fans of you either. Who just ups and calls themselves America's team? Who does that? You know, there is a word for people who think they're more important than they really are, or who think people like them when they really don't. Maybe that's why they call them Big D. The D doesn't stand for Dallas. It stands for delusional. All right, but whatever, the Cowboys are coming back to Lincoln Financial Field. Oh, what's wrong? That 34-10 butt kicking we gave you last year wasn't good enough for you? You come crawling back? You know, maybe on Sunday, Tony Romo should change his jersey number to 2, because that's exactly how many touchdowns he's had at Lincoln Financial Field in the last 4 years. 2. All right, Tony Romo jokes, Tony Romo jokes. Ah, there's one. Did you know that Tony Romo is an avid golfer? Yeah, but he's not any good. He's always shooting bogeys. Because he's scared of Eagles. All right, that was terrible. Tony Romo jokes, Tony Romo jokes, Tony. Look, I got a million of these things. We ain't got time for all of them. But trust me, Eagles fans, all joking aside, come Sunday, the Eagles will once again get the last laugh against America's team. I'll see you at the link.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin', and Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Bob, we finally made it to the Sweet 16 here in the bracket breakdown. It feels like forever. But how can the fans make sure that their voices are heard while voting?
Well, you should still be used to voting with the election this past Tuesday. But remember, go to the website, vote for the greatest Eagle of all time. We're finally getting down to those choice few, and we want to hear from you.
And if you need to catch up on anything Eagles, log on to PhiladelphiaEagles.com. For Bob Umbera and Becky Brensinger, thanks for tuning in to Eagles Green Zone.
Also in your rookie year, you tore your ACL. You know, how has your focus shifted from a couple of years ago to where you are today?
Well, you know, my focus is, you know, all the way there. I mean, I take care of my body every day, you know, and now, I mean, I don't really worry about the past too much, you know. Now it's just go out there and just prove everybody wrong, you know, because everybody has something to say. So, you know, just got to do me.